Good afternoon. I'm Kaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners like you. Germantown Community Theater continues its 53rd season with The Smell of the Kill that opens this Friday and runs through November the 3rd. Performances are Friday and Saturday at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And they're doing something special on opening night this Friday. After the show, they'll have a free champagne reception. Tickets for the show, $15 to $26. And as always, GCT offers a sensory-friendly performance with an ASL interpreter, and that's going to be on Sunday, October the 27th. Eliza Moran is directing The Smell of the Kill, and she joins me by Zoom this afternoon. Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I had never heard of this show, and boy, Desperate Housewives indeed.
Yeah, right? it is like... It's a fun ride. It definitely is going to be like a nice like girls' evening out. But yes, definitely the very Desperate Housewives.
Well, it sounds like a wild ride. So tell us what we're in for here.
Yeah, sure. So it is a dark comedy, which, funny enough, the playwright actually wrote as a drama, but there were so many laughs that she was just like, okay, well, it's a comedy. But it follows three women who monthly they have dinners together. And when you see the show, it opens up right after one of those dinners. And they've known each other for many, many years. As the show goes on, you realize that their marriages are not all that they may seem. So you have one of the wives, Nikki, whose husband is going to be going to prison for fraud. And is probably going to be taking all of her assets and funds with him. Then we have another one who, her name is Molly. Her husband essentially love bombs her, but won't touch her. But it almost is on the cusp of being kind of stalkerish because he just shows up sometimes. And then you have another one who you think is they have the perfect marriage. She's a devoted housewife, but find out that the husband has been cheating on her. And so it's not all what it's cracked up to be. And then there's a moment in the show where the husbands get themselves stuck in a position where it's a life or death situation. And the ladies have to make a decision. Do they let their husbands die in order to free themselves? Or do they let them live and continue to go on in the state of the state of the marriages that they're currently in?
And it's a comedy, everybody.
Yeah, yeah. It's very funny. It's a dark comedy.
Well, so you were talking about Nikki, and this is the thing. Maybe I look at too many subreddits or something about marriage, but Nikki's husband is going to jail, but he's like, oh, okay, I want you to, she has, I guess, her 401k or something like that, and he wants all of that money. I'm like, no, that's not yours, that's hers. How dare you ask her of that?
Yeah, all their assets are in his name, and then she works, she pays a big chunk of the bills, and he wants her entire retirement fund to help pay for the lawyers and things like that. Yeah. Yeah, it's not quite an equitable relationship, I would have to say.
It does not sound like it. So tell me who's in your cast, first of all.
Yeah, sure. So we have Kate Peckham, who plays Nikki. We have Robbie Commons, who plays Molly. And then we have Kristen Kopka, who plays Deborah. The three husbands are voiced by actors. You never see them. But we have Kevin Cochran, who plays Jay. No, I'm sorry. He plays Danny. Excuse me. We have Nicholas Weaver, who plays Jay. And then we have Justin Burgess, who plays Marty.
Okay. And they're a hoot. So what are the pairings here with the husbands and the female? I'm just trying to put it together. Like, whose husband is who? Yeah.
So Deborah and Marty are husband and wife.
Okay.
Molly and Danny are husband and wife. And Nikki and Jay are husband and wife.
Okay. So the women have kind of been thrown together for all these dinners. I mean, the men were roommates in college. And yes. So they have these dinners once a month, and that's how the women got to know each other. And I guess during the course of this evening, after the dinner party, it kind of sounds like it's the first time they've genuinely bonded with each other, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. They have not. Most relationships, I mean, most friendships, excuse me, you know, like those ones that you've known for a very, very long time, there's generally a sense of intimacy and truth. Like you feel like you know your friends. Mm-hmm. I think that they have never known each other really until today.
Yeah.
Until this particular evening. They have just played their parts. There's times where like they talk about how they really don't know one another. For instance, like, Nikki is an editor at a publishing company, but none of the ladies know what books she's ever worked on. And Molly has, she has a quote where, a line where she says, well, if I asked you now, wouldn't that be embarrassing? Because we've known each other for so long. Yeah, these are three women who probably would not have been in the same room if it wasn't for the husbands.
Yeah. Oh boy, this is going to resonate with the audience, don't you think?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think that everyone will see a bit of themselves in any of the ladies, and hopefully some of the husbands also see a little bit of themselves in the husbands. When we first started with rehearsals, I joked that it would be really fun if people with their partners, when they arrived, saw the show, when they left, if they questioned whether or not their partners would let them die. I want there to be maybe a tinge of fear and doubt in the people that you're surrounded by after you see the show.
So, yeah, they're faced with, they've all decided that they can't stand their husbands. And you just,
yes.
And you told us the reason why. So the men get themselves into a predicament where the women could try to help them or not help them. So, I mean, their lives are in the women's hands.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's times where I will give it a little bit away. The men get drunk, they're playing golf in the dining room, and then they wander off into the meat locker that Jay has purchased too long before this show starts or the script starts. And the ladies have to decide, do we let them freeze to death and free ourselves, or do I let them out? Because it would be seen as an accident.
That's true. They could totally get away with it.
Oh yeah, totally. So that is the teeter between like that kind of morality, but also the sense of self care and perseverance. Yeah.
So, I mean, so we're not going to give anything big away, but I mean, oh gosh. So they're faced with this thing and they either do it or they don't do it. Do we find out if they decide to do it or not?
Yes.
Okay. That's all we'll say about that.
Yes, yes.
Oh gosh. Will they or won't they? So when you were directing this, you've got to keep that tension going, right? And you've got to make sure the pace is really fast.
Yeah, so the dialogue pops, and the ladies go in and out of the space, which essentially it all takes place in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not. I knew when working with the set designer and designers, I didn't want it to look like your normal like upper middle class kitchen. So we played a lot with concepts, and the set designer, whose name is Brandon Graves. He, when we were bouncing back and forth with ideas, he had this one sentence that he texted me, and it was lionesses that realize their cage is made of cardboard. So we've kind of like leaned into that concept a little bit. So there's times where the gals get into arguments with each other, and there's moments where they fight and they get in each other's faces, but they also find themselves bonding with one another. It's a fun ride, and the actresses have really embodied these characters. Like you feel for them, each and every one of them, you know.
So there's
a lot of different ways. A
lot of empathy there.
Yeah totally.
And I it's funny. Don't you want to know the inner dialogue of your audience members and what they're thinking in their brains while they're watching this show?
Yeah, yeah. Yesterday we were going through tech rehearsal, and I was thinking, man, I'm like, I find this funny. I hope other people find it funny. I mean, everybody in the room was laughing. I'm really curious to hear about, and especially from friends who will come see the show, what they think and all that good stuff.
So you mentioned that the playwright wrote it as a drama. She never meant for it to be funny, but she said to rehearse it as a drama. Is that how you approach directing it?
Yes. Yeah. There are some, because like there are so many elements of the script that are just kind of absurd. Like the fact that these guys get themselves locked in a meat locker in someone's house is in its own way very absurd. Like, who has that? But that also brings about this crazy, the idea of this choice that these ladies have. Now, could they all get divorced? Absolutely. But instead, they have the question of life or death. Death. And yes, we rehearsed a good deal of it. Especially, there are some moments that are quite poignant and needed that kind of level of like depth and heaviness. Mm-hmm. But then there's moments that are just ridiculous and funny. So we kind of did a little bit of both, really.
So I did read, it's like one-liners. She really wrote some funny dialogue.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, it's man.
So are you gonna, is this performed with Adam at an intermission?
No, so, ooh, this is delicious. It is 75 minutes. It is like a one act. So you can have dinner beforehand or go and have different dinner and drinks afterwards. It is one location, three ladies, and it is deliciously just a good time. So people should feel relieved that they, because sometimes you go see a show and it's like 3 hours long and you're like, oh, geez, but 75 minutes. It's where it's at.
So it's fast-paced, 75 minutes, and you're going to find out how the ladies deal with this life or death situation. So you talked to your set designer. As far as sound, anything special with that?
Oh, yeah. So Joe Johnson is our sound designer. So he has created a couple of nice pieces of composition for the show, as well as really work to make the men sound like they are in a whole nother room.
Right.
My ASM or assistant stage manager, her name is April Vincent, has taken on being a lovely little Foley artist for our show. She plays the role of the baby. And I'll tell you, every time she does it, I'm like, wow, good job, dude. Good job.
Oh my gosh. I didn't realize one of them had a baby. Wow.
Yeah. Nikki has a baby. Yeah. So add even more to the morality of the situation, you know?
Oh my gosh, it does. I had never heard of this show. And I was so intrigued by the title, and I had no idea that this is what it's going to be about. I mean, so relatable, really funny, but at the same time, it's got that drama underneath the whole thing and the tension underneath the whole thing. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's The Smell of the Kill at Germantown Community Theater. It opens this Friday and runs through November the 3rd. That's Friday and Saturday, 7:30 curtain with a Sunday matinee at 2:30. And don't forget, opening night will be followed by a free champagne reception. Tickets $15 to $26, and also the sensory-friendly performance with an ASL interpreter will be Sunday, October the 27th. So you and the three women, this had to be just a fun thing to do during rehearsal, I can just imagine.
Oh yeah, we had such a good time. Laughed a lot, laughed almost till we peed a little. We had a really good time.
That's something all women can identify with too. Oh my gosh. Get your tickets to The Smell of the Kill. You can call the Germantown Community Theater box office at 453-7447 or go to gctcomeplay.org. Eliza Moran directing The Smell of the Kill at Germantown Community Theater, and she's been my guest this afternoon. This has been fun, Eliza. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.